Yes. In this introduction, basically going to describe the reasons why the intraday momentum method was created, books, videos, and learning materials that I studied in order to create the intraday momentum method and try to develop things that would make it better and more useful to the intraday trader. I'm going to go over some examples of the research. I'm going to demonstrate, show what the intraday momentum method has done over the past 5 years on over 400 stocks in the S&P 500. I'm going to talk about the statistical significance of the intraday momentum method levels in terms of the trading range over the last 5 years. I'm going to attempt to answer a couple of questions, such as, does trend following give a trader an edge by using the intraday momentum method in order to do this? I'm going to demonstrate some higher probability trades and going to try to demonstrate what a fast move might look like with using the intraday momentum method. The intraday momentum method was developed for reasons that I had studied a lot of traders, such as Jeff Cooper, who traded off of a lot of patterns, Toby Krebell, the opening range breakout, Mark Fisher, Linda Rashke, and Larry Connors. Most of these people were pattern-based traders. What I wanted to learn was more specific about what happened on an intraday basis. The opening range breakout seemed like an incredibly good idea. The problem was I felt like a move in price had to be more significant than an X period of time, such as a 15-minute, 20-minute, or 30-minute time frame. So I set out to devise a calculation that I could come up with that determined if a stock reached this level, it would close at or above that level 47% of the time or greater. And same thing with the downside. I wanted to also create a way to define patterns mathematically. What I found was with traditional technical analysis techniques, they didn't allow a trader to determine outcomes effectively, meaning in terms of time frame based analysis, the time period, the analysis is almost always calculated at the close of the X period of time that the trader is using, such as a moving average. Well, the moving average is calculated off of the close. And what I found was that typically, if you thought that a stock or market had actually tested a moving average, that wasn't always the case, because if the stock moved down to test the moving average and it came back up, well, it looks like the moving average actually went through the trading range of the day, when in fact, when the market was lower, so was the moving average. So I decided that I had to have something more stable and something that wasn't constantly moving. In fact, historically significant. And most importantly, what I wanted to do was allow a trader to attempt to define their risk before they actually entered the trade. If a trader knew how historically significant a pattern was, he could create a scenario where he would base his risk on the probability of a successful outcome as opposed to just chance. If you go to the website at qatsystems.com/analytics, I have quite a bit of information on basically just what the intraday momentum method actually is. It goes through and it talks about high probability base levels and where they came from. The extended levels, I extend the levels out three. I have three in each direction, three up and three down. We also have a page for position size and risk management. There's a position size calculator and a risk management calculator, so that if you know the probability of a successful outcome and some other parameters, put that into the calculator, it determines how much you should risk on each trade. And then you can use the position size and the intraday momentum method levels to help in determining what size of a position you would take. The scientific approach to trading was developed because I saw the needs and pains of traders years ago. The needs and pains of traders I recognized by studying numerous published traders were: the trader needed the ability to explain why a trader made money. Was it intuition, luck, skill, pattern-based strategy, reversion to the mean, trend following, risk management, or possibly any combination of all or all of the above? Trader needed the ability to define patterns mathematically. The trader needed the ability to calculate risk and base that risk on the probability of a successful trade. Two questions that I wanted to get answers to that I found no way of getting an answer to using traditional technical analysis were: does trend following give a trader an edge, and do fast moves come from false moves? Basically, I'm going to go over just some basics of the intraday momentum method. First off, we're going to start out with the things that we want to avoid most as a trader, and that would be fast moves and intraday reversals. This is actually both. Applied Materials reaches the ML1 level up and continues higher and reaches the ML2 within the first 30 minutes of trade. Basically, it then later in the day falls down and reaches the MS1 level. level. Anytime a stock reaches the ML1 level and the MS1 level in any given day, that is considered an intraday reversal, as the market really hasn't given any sign of direction for the day. Fast moves have a tendency to cause moves back in the opposite direction. Typically, a strong stock or market doesn't actually pull back even to the open traditionally. A strong market, if it reaches a level, it will keep going, and they typically don't pull back even as far as the open. As you can see in this instance, basically, after the MS1 level was reached, market Applied Materials actually rallied back and closed near the open. This is three levels that were reached in one trading day. I'll show you later that historically, over 90% of the stocks that I've kept data for have fallen within. You wouldn't have needed a fourth level in any instance in calculating that from the high to low of the day. This was Amazon, and Amazon basically was a much slower move to the MS1 level. It reached it around noon. Then it pulls back slightly, goes down and reaches the MS2 level, which is an extended level. It's the same distance from the open to the MS1 as it is from MS1 to MS2. And as you can see, it basically closed below the MS1 level, but above the MS2 level. The projected low is something that I've been working on. As you can see here, came very close to that. Basically, it's I'm combining the statistics for the levels with the probability of having extended levels to come up with what the projected high or low of the day would be. That's something that is a work in progress, and I continue to get close to something that I think would be incredibly beneficial to the traders, and once that is ready, that will be another product that will be available. JP Morgan, once again, this was a much slower move to the ML1 level. It reaches the ML1 level around noon and continues higher. It should be obvious that the later in the trading day that something occurs, such as a move to a level, if you got a move to a level after 2:30 or 3 o'clock, it's not likely that you would get a move to an extended level during that same trading day. Basically, the best times for the levels to be met are somewhere in between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. basically signifies that, number one, it's not a fast move, and number two, it has a less likelihood chance of going in the opposite direction. Fast moves can be real moves. There was actually an instance, they oftentimes come off of overbought and oversold conditions that you get a fast move that turns into a real move. These are the statistics for the last 5 years. The articles were published on the intraday momentum method in May of 2013. At the time, I didn't have a way to demonstrate intraday momentum method in real time. I spent a couple of years trying to figure out how I was going to do it. First of all, going through a large number of stock charts every day didn't make a lot of sense to me because it just wasn't feasible. I couldn't go through 400 stocks, so I created a web-based application to actually come up with the numbers and feed those into a real-time feed where I could, at the end of the day, save the data and keep track of it to see how it performed over a long period of time and over a large number of stocks. My goal more than anything was to apply the same model over a large number of stocks for a long period of time more than anything, not necessarily tracking the S&P 500 or anything else. I came up with that simply because it's a large group of stocks and it was easy for me to update on a daily basis. So as you can see, if the stock reached the ML1 level, it closed at or above that level 50% of the time. If it reached the ML1 level, it closed at or above the open 81% of the time. If the stock reached the MS1 level down, it closed at or below the MS1 level 47% of the time. If a stock reached the MS1 level down, it closed at or below the open 79% of the time. The difference in the MS1 and the ML3, the 3%, is most likely due to the fact that we have been in an uptrend for quite some time. Most of the last 5 years, we have been in an uptrend, and I would say that that is a large percentage of the reason why you have a big difference in the MS1 and the ML1 levels. The total percentage of reversals is 14%. The worst thing for the intraday momentum method is actually high volatility. When the markets gap open, there will be a lot more chance of reversal. Also, overbought and oversold conditions tend to have higher reversals than situations that are not overbought and oversold extreme. This is the just a graphic, a little bit better graphic of the intraday momentum method. Basically, it shows you what percentage of the time the levels were reached and what percentage of the time it closed at or above or at or below those levels. As you can see, if it reached the ML1 level up, it closed out above that level 50% of the time. If it was not an intraday reversal, meaning that it did not reach the MS1 level down during the trading day, it closed out above the ML1 level 57% of the time. If the stock was an MS met the MS1 level and was not an intraday reversal, it closed at or below the MS1 level 54% of the time. The idea behind the intraday momentum method is not to take the levels as they are, but to define patterns mathematically, determine those are statistically significant, meaning that the range, the price range in between the ML1 and the open is a great place to get long, considering you don't have a fast move. Same with the downside. The price range in between the open and the MS1 is a good place and a higher probability trade to get short and not necessarily taking the level as a long. As you can see here, if we reach the ML2 levels, same thing. The probabilities didn't really change all that much in the ML3 and the MS3. The probabilities are still relatively high with those extended levels. If they were met, then the probability was 49% on the upside and 48-49% on the downside. This is the web-based application that basically, this one is not real-time live now, but this is just a demonstration. Basically, this shows you the symbol. This information is actually not included in a subscription because it is giving the last price, the open, the high, and low. Basically, we just give the levels themselves. This is basically the data that I keep every single day. So basically, this shows you that the stock reached a level, it turns green. It tells you the current position as well as extended levels that it met. So if it met an extended level up, those are turned green. If the stock met an extended level down, those would turn red, as you see here. And if the stock met an ML1 and an MS1 in the same trading day, then that would be, it would turn orange. The levels would be turn their respective colors, green and red, but the once it becomes a reversal, the symbol actually turns orange as well as the current position of the stock. I'm going to show you actually in real time what this actually would look like. So, basically, in real time, this basically is just a current stats page. It keeps track of all the stocks in the S&P 500. It tells you what percentage are at or above the ML1 level, what percentage are at or below the MS1 level, what percentage of stocks were actually intraday reversals, how many stocks actually haven't met a level at all during today's trading range. These are all the stocks that were intraday reversals today. These are the high probability ETF signals, meaning I'll demonstrate in a few minutes a higher probability scenario. If a stock doesn't reach a certain level in the opposite direction from the open, then it has historically had a higher probability that would be above, would close at or above that level. I have also broken it down into the sectors where we can track the sectors differently. Keep track of the gaps, although I do not include the gaps in the information, mainly due to the fact that they are much more susceptible to intraday reversals. And this is the extended levels page. This basically, as I'll demonstrate to you in just a few minutes, as I said, there's a calculation that I came up with that there's a 50% chance historically that a level made it to the ML2. And I'll go over exactly that, how I came up with that calculation. So I extended the levels out three directions, both up and down, to determine how significant were the levels historically. Were they, did I come close to capturing all the data for over 400 stocks in the S&P 500 over the last 5 years? And what I did was I took the calculation that I used to come up with the ML1, which is based off the open. So it's the open plus a price. And I divided that distance into several different things. I divided it into the high minus the low. And this illustration shows the significance of having gone three different levels, as only 9% of the data collected would have gone above four levels. This is actually calculated from the high to low, and therefore it would have only needed a fourth level less than 10% of the time when I measured it from the open. So basically, if I took the stocks that met the ML1, only 4% of those stocks would have needed an additional level up, like an ML4, to have collected all the data over the last 5 years. On the downside, it was 6%. So only 6% of the stocks, so 94% of the data that met the MS1 level down captured the entire range of the day. When I actually basically do it for the non-reversals as well. So what this does is basically it demonstrates that to some degree, what I've done is to normalize the intraday market activity. What that enables traders to do is to define patterns and determine probable outcomes from historical data. One of the questions that I wanted to answer was, does trend following give a trader an edge? How do you come up with this solution? Basically, I figured that if we had gone three levels up and three levels down, then we would have a start. I can determine, well, if we met the MO1, what percentage of the time do we get to the MO2? If we get to MO2, what percentage of the time do we get to M3? So I decided to determine what would happen if I calculated this stuff and said, we have to have a high of the day that is greater than the MO1, not just at or above, but greater than. What I found was that we got a 0.6% chance that we would have a close at or above that level. The same thing to the downside. What if the low was not MS1 or lower, but lower than MS1, and probability of a close less than MS1 increased 0.6% as well, from 47.2 to 47.8. We reached the MO1 level. What percentage of the time did we get to the MO2 level? As you can see, 37% of the time that we get to the MO1, we get to the MO2. If it was not an intraday reversal, 43% of the time that we got to the MO2. On the downside, we reached the MS1, we got to the MS2, 38% of the time. We reached the MS1 and it was not an intraday reversal, we got to the 24%. What I wanted to do was take find out there was a calculation that I could come up with that determined if we went just a little bit further, could we increase probability of getting to the next level. So I took the calculation that I used to determine the MO1 and I multiplied that times 1.33 and added it to the F. So it's a new level that exists above the MO1 and it's 33% of the distance from the open to the MO1. Great. So basically, it's 33% higher from the open to MO1 plus. So it's not actually to the MO2 because the MO2 would actually be 100% increase. And basically what I found was if we reached the MO1, we got to the MO2 51% of the time in this scenario. If we reached the MO1 and it was not an intraday reversal, we got the MO2 54%. On the downside, if we reached the MS1, we got to the MS2 52% of the time. If we reached the MS1 and it was not an intraday reversal, we got to the MS2 56% of the time. So I took that level. I came back and what I wanted to do was find out if the market didn't make a move in the opposite direction from the open, half the distance from the open to MS1. So we're going to talk about just the long positions at this time. So if the stock does not move halfway between the open and the MS1, we have historically a close above the MO1 57% of the time. That is because these were not intraday reversals. And we also have approximately 50% of the time. As long as this calculation is not met, we reach the MO2 50% of the time. This is actually the high probability scenario that I discussed in this web page right here. Basically, this is called extended levels. And the extended levels basically is what percentage. It's a 50% chance or greater that a stock will reach the MO2 by the end of the day, historically. And we actually have a page that it is not actually, these are the stocks that have actually not reached the MO2 currently during the trading day. Basically, this shows you here that what number of stocks actually have a high percentage chance of reaching the MO2 is 185. Approximately right at 100 of them have reached the MO2 or greater. What percentage of the stocks have a 50% chance or greater of reaching the MS2? It's 53. And what percentage of the stocks have reached the MS2? That's 17 or 32%. The other question that I wanted to get an answer to was, can we define what a fast move might look like? Listening to a lot of traders over the years, a lot of them have said fast moves often come false moves. Well, can we define what fast actually is? And can we define what fast might actually look like? First off, a scenario. This was September 7th. Basically, the QQQ was coming off of a pretty overbought condition. It comes down and reaches the MS1 level in the first 15 minutes of trading. One thing I will add is that these levels are incredibly close together as well, meaning that market had consolidated quite a bit. The things that hurt this model the most are extremely tight consolidations and expansions or increased volatility. As you can see, the MS1 reaches, the QQQ reaches the MS1 in the first 15 minutes of trading. We get a small pullback, actually doesn't come all the way back to the open, and then it later trades considerably lower during the trading day. I believe it reached an MS6 that day, which would have been one of those days where it's just out of the range. Fast moves can be real moves when they come out of consolidations and overbought conditions. The DIA on October the 21st reached the MO1 level up within the first half hour of trading. As you can see, basically, it just traded in a pretty tight range that day. It came down and eventually tested the downside limit. The downside limit is the calculation that is halfway between the open and the MS1. The upside limit is the calculation that is halfway between the open and the MO1. So when you see a high probability setup, it is basically saying that we do not have, this stock has not reached the downside limit. It is a high probability setup for the upside. If it's a high probability setup to the downside, it has reached the MS1, but it has not reached the upside limit. In this scenario, the DIA comes within 3 cents of the downside that limit, and it closed below the evidence in this case. One of the reasons, when I read the book, Mark Fisher's book, The Logical Trader, he spoke a lot or quite a bit about how market-based ETFs and markets didn't really trend all that well. And one of the reasons why he said that the ACD methodology didn't work so great was because they didn't trend that well, and they did a lot of back and build. One of the reasons why when I post things to social media in regards to the DIA, the SPY, and the QQQ, I typically do that in order to demonstrate pullback patterns and double tops or double up, because those are patterns that would exist in markets that were not likely to trend. They say trending happens about 20% of the time. It may be a little bit less for market-based ETFs. The SPY on October 21st reaches the MO1 level of the first 30 minutes of trading as well. It comes down, it tests the downside limit, and at 342.43, it basically trades within a trading range that day and closes below the as well. The SPY tested the downward limit, reaching a low of 342.40 shortly after 11 a.m. And this test, as you can see, it just basically traded on back up to the MO1. One of the patterns that I think are very good with the market-based ETFs are double bottoms off of levels such as the downward limit or off of the open. Those are very good entry points, because once the stock comes back to the open, it's not likely that the probability decreases. If you reach the downward limit, probability of a close above the ML1 decreases quite significantly. I believe it's around 47%. So if you reach the ML1 and then we get a downward move to the downward limit, the probability is around 47% that you would actually get a close above the ML1. A few of the products that we are offering subscriptions to at the current time are the intraday momentum method as applied to the ETFs. Basically, I provide this daily. We also have the high probability intraday momentum method. We have a subscription to the intraday momentum method, S&P 500. This is the research that demonstrates the S&P 500 intraday momentum method as to apply to over 400 stocks in the S&P 500 and over the course of the last 5 years. These are the statistics in terms of where the market closed in relation to the levels. I have also the high probability scenario for the S&P 500, as well as the intraday momentum method applied to the ETFs, and the intraday momentum method has applied to the ETFs with a high probability scenario, meaning that they did not reach the upside limit in terms of the downward move or the downside limit in terms of the upside. Does anybody have any questions? As you can see right now, we are basically back up at 5% of the stocks that reach the MO1 level or at or above that level. These are the financial stocks. 61% of the stocks that have reached the MO1 level are at or above the MO1 level, and 50% of the stocks that have reached the MS2 level are at or below the MS2 level. You can subscribe today at qactsystems.com/analytics/register. That website, you just enter your information and can subscribe to the intraday momentum method in real time. Just enter your information and we'll be delivering that stuff. You can go to the website and view the analysis on a daily basis, or we will be sending out an email as well. If you have any questions regarding the intraday momentum method, please contact me at todd.hudson@qactsystems.com or 919-539-1915.